Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Have a very, very special program that I don't know how to say this. I'm the only one that can bring this program today. Dealing with what I know that is going to blow people away, but it's also a teaching lesson regarding Cracker Barrel. Now, I've been quiet about it here, just deciding whether I need to, whether it's time to come forward with information that only I would know and a few people on the inside of Cracker Barrel. Going back to the beginning of slouching towards Gomorrah many years ago, I'm going to read from you for you from document. I would call it a document. It's a letter. I'm going to cover some other things first, but I'm following a biblical admonition, and that is to expose the works of darkness. To expose the works of darkness. That's what we're going to do here today. I do that, I think, every week, at least in part. What other people share, obviously, in that task, the Trump administration. What, exposing the works of darkness of the deep state? Goodness sake, Tulsi Gabbard. I get it why she is such a great pick. I didn't get it at the time, but I get it now. My goodness. And why the Democrats in the Senate fought so hard against her. I think she knew where the bodies were. I think she knows where the skeletons are. And I don't know if any of it has to do with the fact that she and Barack are both from Hawaii. Well, Barack, in theory, from Hawaii. But the skeletons are being exposed. They're digging up the bones for more evidence. I mean, look at the whole thing with Comey. Oh, my gosh. You know, I don't really want to get into this Taylor Swift thing. I mean, he's a joke. He's an embarrassment to think that he was ahead of the FBI. And here he is channeling a pop star who advocates for queer sex, homosexual unions, abortion. Taylor Swift is horrible. I don't like her music. Never have. I'm sorry. Just don't. I like a lot of music, not hers. But that this old guy, I don't know, what is he? He's about 6'4", 6'5". He must be feeling like he's shrinking. And somehow he has to channel Taylor to get his cojones back, to get his courage up. And he's the head of the FBI. We have no idea yet how deep the deep state is. We are still peeling back that onion. And I hope Mr. Trump has the longevity to get to the bottom or get as far as he can get with all of this. I really do. Okay, but before we get to the Cracker Barrel thing, I just want to share a few things that just indicate how deep-seated the wickedness and the sickness and the corruption is in this country. We are going in two different directions. Donald Trump can only do what Donald Trump can do as a political leader. He's not the pastor-in-chief. He's a commander-in-chief. And as I said over a period of 2.5 programs, no revival, no survival. And to think that we're getting better as a country, we are in one way and getting worse in another. And I have likened President Trump to Josiah on a number of occasions. The scripture says Josiah was the best king Israel ever had. People think it was David. It was not. The scripture said there was no king like Josiah either before him or after him, who so rooted out the evil. Josiah was against the deep state. He was against all forms and sources of evil from whatever source, even to the point of digging up the bones of the false prophets and burning those guys. He was incredible. And yet, notwithstanding all the good things that he did to be considered the best king Israel ever had, the people didn't get it. There wasn't a turn in the people. There wasn't a revival. There was nothing that seemed to indicate that things were going to turn around that way. And guess what? God did not withhold the judgment. He let Josiah finish his assigned task. And at that point, he said, the sins of Manasseh, they have to be addressed. There's not been any repentance from any of that. And then judgment fell big time. I'm going to make this comparison. To me, Trump is like a modern-day Josiah. He's rooting out all this wickedness like no president ever has in our country. I think he's the best president the United States has ever had, more so than Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. I wouldn't have said that a while back, but the man's heart is to do right. There isn't any question about it. Whether he succeeds or not, he will in some areas. He will do all he can do. He will do all that God has allowed him to do. God will give him the energy and the strength for him to do what God's called him to do. And at such point in time that his task is done, he's gone. He might not live out this term. And I'm not even thinking assassination. I'm just thinking natural causes. I see the fatigue. I mean, Scripture says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Well, he is growing weary in well-doing, and he needs our prayers. He needs a shot in the arm. He needs something in his body like Elijah got in his feet. Yeah, when he outran Ahab's chariot back to Jezreel. Man, watch that boy go. Elijah wasn't a young man then, but was he fast? Well, when the anointing comes upon you, there is nothing that can't be done. Samson was an old man, fairly old, relatively speaking, when his greatest feat of killing 3,000 Philistines by pushing the columns over. It's when God is done with you, then you're done. And it doesn't mean you accomplished everything that God asked you to do. I want to make this very clear. I mean, God told Joshua what his job was in cleaning out Canaan. Get rid of this tribe and that tribe. This is where this tribe is going to live. I mean, not cleaning out tribe. I mean, I'm talking about the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the termites. Yeah, there's no end to them. Okay. Did he get them all cleaned out? He said he was old. He had grown old, but God said that the job was not done. Was that Joshua's fault? I don't think Scripture says that. I don't think Scripture means that. He was called to a job to clean all these bad guys out, make space for the tribes of Israel. The job wasn't finished, but the fact is, Joshua, it appears, did all that he could possibly do. That was his job, clean them all out. And he was going to go at it till they were all cleaned out, but he didn't make it. And the same may be said of President Trump. He's going to do all that he can do to clean out the bad guys. I've been called to do this, and might even think that because on his deathbed he hasn't finished the job, well, in essence, he really has. If he's been obedient to what God's called him to do, but the fact that he didn't finish it in the way that he thinks God has ordained him to, is not a fault of Trump any more than of Joshua or any one of us. No, I mean, what if God said to Joshua, I want you to clean out half of the bad tribes? Well, okay. Well, I think I can do that. He takes his time. And it turns out he actually doesn't finish half of them. But he goes at it with all the strength that God has given him, and the fact that the task, the charge, the ordination had to be for the total job, or what got done would never have been done. That's how I feel about Trump. Cleaning out the deep state, making America great again, making America healthy again, supporting Israel to the nth degree. He's attempted and is doing all of those things as fast, as hard as he possibly can with all that God has given him. And I thank God for that. Is he going to finish that? Well, he's going to finish his task of doing all that he can do. God lays it out. You do all that you can do. You're done. Now it's the next generation. And on we go. Because some things don't change. The spiritual battles don't change. After Trump's gone, we're going to have more Jew haters than ever throughout the world and throughout this country. I'm going to have another special program on that because the Islamification of America. When does America surrender to Islam? That program from about 3 or 4 weeks ago was not well heard nor well received. And I'm going to revisit it with some additional things from Scripture and what I think believe God has clearly shown me to share while I can. But in the meantime, keep in mind that what God is using Trump for is not to lead a spiritual revival. That's a responsibility of the pastors, and actually it's a responsibility of anybody and everybody that God has called. You don't have to be an ordained pastor to preach on the street. I use the Word of God every possible chance I get. I try not to ever chicken out. Yeah, I've failed some. I'll admit that. But to think that things are getting better because of Trump in one area does not mean things are getting better in other areas. And I'm going to explain. This whole piece by Joy Reid here the other day, she's a piece of work. But the left just doubles down. It's sort of like all of these demoniacs, otherwise known as Democrats, animated by Satan himself. Apparently, Satan, knowing his time is short, has animated his minions, his lemmings, to believing that time is short, and they have to ramp it up by doubling down. They get wackier, they get crazier, they get even more evil, they get more pernicious, more wicked, and more debauched. Believe me, this is a lead up to the Cracker Barrel story. So Joy Reid is out there and saying, what did she say the other day on the thing called the Left Hook? She says, quote, mediocre white men are simply coasting along on stolen achievements from others. Isn't that amazing? Oh, that's, I can't even, it's just, and then the host of that program goes on to say that everything good in music, we owe to black people. Everything good in food, we owe to black people. Everything good in the United States, the black people are the ones that made this country what it is, and everything that's good about this country is good because of them. All of the good things in this country are a result of them. I find that pretty offensive, of course. And why do they keep saying this? Well, I guess they don't have anything else to talk about. And you get Gavin Newsom out there screaming and hollering, trying to do a Trump impersonation, not realizing that he's actually doing a Joe Biden impersonation by calling Republicans sons of bitches, and he wants to punch him in the face. What a joke. What an absolute joke. But the fact that he could be president in three years, it's kind of alarming. But at this one piece, and I just want to finish it off here, that parents need to know that Joy Reid's public bile, as written here in The Blaze, is not an isolated eccentricity. It's the distilled essence of a worldview taught in classrooms all around the country. We're going down the toilet because of the education system. Get your kids, grandkids, out of government schools. Unless you just want to lose them, unless you really don't care. And another indication here, this is what I'm bringing this out to show that while things are getting brighter in one area, they're getting darker in another. But we have a Florida mother whose son, history teacher, named him as the most likely to become a dictator because of his conservative views. Her other son, 6 years old, was prohibited from sitting next to a friend on the bus because of a parent that objected to the perspectives on book challenges that the 6-year-old's mother raised. In other words, all conservatives are bad. All conservatives are nasty. Don't have anything to do with them. and said her older son's teacher let students label him a Nazi-file simply because of his interest in history and participation in ROTC. I'm still quoting her from the Blaze. She said, she later nominated my son as most likely to become a dictator and had his classmates vote on it to try to force him to the front of the class to receive the certificate, which he rightly refused, all because of his conservative values and our perspectives. School libraries, he said, there are many dark faces afoot. Parents need to wake up. Well, I guess I'd have to say to this one gal, though, in response, this is horrible. Then this is in Florida, supposedly a good state, right? Supposedly. She needs to get her kids out of that school. She needs to wake up herself and get the kids out of the school, unless you just want to turn them over. Kind of like child sacrifice. That's what it is. Children in government schools are the equivalent, in my opinion, of child sacrifice. Child neglect, child abuse, child endangerment. Some or most of those are misdemeanors, and child abuse can be a felony. But you're turning them over to the God of this world, the God of this age. Garbage in, garbage out. Is it anything to be really be shocked at when your daughter comes home from college holding the hands of another girl, all full of nose rings, this and that, tatted all over the place, and she looks having rejected everything she supposedly was taught? Well, the problem is that 45 minutes in Sunday school, if she was paying attention, does not compare to the 45 hours a week in a government school receiving that garbage and crapola. Why in this age of what seems to be a coming of reason do we have the Minnesota Vikings with two cheerleaders that are queer as $3 bills? Guys, and I mean, goodness sakes, were they in tutus or something? Now 11 NFL teams got queer cheerleaders. Guys, the girls aren't harmed. The girls aren't concerned. They're nurturing. They're motherly, apparently, and they certainly pose no threat. Guys who like other guys are no threat to girls. It's ridiculous. I'm all done with NFL football. Screw it. I have no interest in it. If I'm going to have to look at that garbage, I'm out of here. Because there's now 11 teams that have got homosexual cheerleaders. Oh, my gosh. I'm not done. How about the two boys in the school here, Loudoun County, Virginia? Loudoun County, Virginia, there are three boys that were in a locker room. A trainee girl comes in. She thinks she's a boy. She acts like a boy. She's in and out of whatever restroom she wants to be in, locker room. She comes in and starts filming the kids, these three boys. They complain. Then she files a complaint. And guess what? The kids, the boys, because they objected to this, they end up disciplined. They're the ones who end up being cited for a violation of policy 8040, the little policy for the Loudoun School District to protect those who want to feel safe in their sin, which says that requires the schools to allow students to use a facility that corresponds to their consistently asserted gender identity. Well, what's consistently? Does she have to be in her own bathroom for 5 days? That's long enough. That's been consistent. Now she can be consistent as supposedly a guy for 3 days. This is from the pit of hell. This is the same school where the school board had to finally admit that a male student wearing a skirt raped a female student in Stonebridge High School. Restroom. Why isn't somebody suing these boards till they have nothing left in their pockets? No future, nothing. Send them to jail. Let them sit in a jail cell with Comey and Hillary and Schumer and Joe Biden and Barack Obama and, of course, Tony Fauci. Let them all share a jail cell together. That's what the law is for. Scripture makes it very clear. The law is not for those who are lawful. It's for the lawless. That's what the law is for. And there is a long line of behavior that Paul cites as to what the law is for. As far as specific behaviors, it covers everything from kidnapping to queer sex to you name it. It's listed in there. And then, yeah, throw Tony Fauci in there, and he could start a 60s retro band called Tony and the Faucinistas, and they could play in jail. Have at it. Well, the two boys that got disciplined here, one's a Christian, one's a Muslim. For what? Sexual harassment and sex-based discrimination. And for daring to express discomfort, I'm going to read here from the Blaze here, that the Trump administration has made clear must be sex segregated. The boys were notified that they will also be suspended for 10 days, slapped with a no-contact order, with a cross-dressing chick, and then indicated the boys are also be required to do a corrective action plan where they say they're sorry and they demonstrate certain behaviors that are accommodating of that which God calls an abomination. Extreme debauchery. All brought to you by Loudoun County. And what's Loudoun County? Where is it? Go look up Washington, D.C., and you'll see just how close it is. Isn't it interesting that Satan does his most intense and evil work near centers of power? I mean, this kind of stuff is not actually going on, as far as we know, in Minot, North Dakota. No, near the center of power. That's where Satan congregates his demons and his behavior. And right now, it is and has been around Washington, D.C. That's why the hounds of hell are wailing so with Trump in office. And then, of course, infusing their hatred through the leftist lemmings that are there. And God bless Trump. I mean, my goodness sakes. Anyway, well, there's that. So it just kind of goes, this is what's going on with greater speed and depth of depravity, simultaneous with the attempts to clean up the deep state. You see, the behavior of the left doesn't change in the stories that I've just illustrated as they get worse and worse. And as far as Washington, D.C. is, they're just simply waiting out their time for 3.5 years to turn it around, and then it'll be Katie bar the door. Oh, my gosh. You will not believe what will happen to this country further, but now at the government level, if some demoniac like Gavin Newsom, or frankly any Democrat, is in office. But I am going to move along. So, getting to the issue of the Cracker Barrel, I want to preface the bigger story with a little story. I have loved this store forever. We had property in Tennessee. We're going to live there. We were going to. That didn't work out. I ended up selling it. But I've probably been to the Grand Ole Opry, I don't know, 8, about 10 times maybe or something. Go there often. I've loved Nashville. I've loved the Opry, which has changed. I love the Station Inn, where old bluegrass acts and so forth meet downtown Nashville. It's a cool place. Or at least it was. Haven't been there in a few years. But Cracker Barrel was a natural, a favorite stop many, many times. It's where my wife met Marty Stewart there when she was there traveling. And it's been a cool place, no longer because they got this queer advocating lesbo gal from L.A. who brought her debauched political spectrum to Nashville, and now that city is blue, being invaded by people from California. Too bad. That said, Tennessee's still a red state, but not as red as it used to be. But back to the Cracker Barrel. This little story is going to set the stage for the bigger story. As a true confession, there are two things I consider myself a connoisseur of. Not much. Not this small farm town boy from Michigan. There's not much I'm a connoisseur of. But there are two things. And there are two things that I can smell. I got a bad nose. I can't smell anything except bacon and tri-tip. All those I can smell. Other things, I just don't smell anything. And my faculties are limited with having a finely tuned taste as to certain foods. But the two that I'm a connoisseur of, and I can say that, are maple syrup and fudge. I know good fudge, bad fudge, superb fudge, marginal fudge, lousy fudge. Let me try them all. And I'll tell you, I could be a fudge judge. Yeah. That's what I wanted to be all my whole life. Maple syrup. Pure maple syrup, I love it. If I ever be an addict, I'd get a needle out and shoot maple syrup right into the veins of my left arm. I love it. Some guys have shots of whiskey. I have shots of maple syrup every now and then. I go through a quart a month. That's right. So what is that? 4 gallons. I'm sorry, that's 3 gallons a year. And I love every bit of it. So one of the reasons that I've loved Cracker Barrel, amongst all the other reasons, was the fact that it was the only restaurant, and trust me, I am brutal in the analysis here, the only restaurant that would serve 100% pure maple syrup. See, the pancakes aren't any good for you. They're all sugar and salt. So I thought, well, at least if I could get pure maple syrup. And they always provided it. And I'd look at the little tiny, tiny bottle, which was cute, pour that out on my pancakes, and I'd always read the label, 100%. I didn't have to. I could tell tasting it. Till one day in Nashville, I said to my wife, I said, you know what? This doesn't taste right. Something is different here. And I looked at the bottle, and it was no longer 100% pure maple syrup. It was 50% maple syrup and 50% corn syrup. Look, as well as I know maple syrup, I also know yuck when I taste it. And it was half yuck. And I wrote the company in Lebanon, Tennessee, and I said, you have pulled a switcheroo. I've been a faithful customer for eons, and you switched out your 100% pure maple syrup for a polluted blend of maple syrup and corn syrup. You've defiled the beauty and holiness of pure maple syrup. I went down the road a long ways at. I got a letter back from them. And said, well, maple syrup has been just in simply enough of a shortage that we've had to cut back on how much we use. Now, folks, these bottles are about the size, half the size of the little whiskey bottles or whatever they serve on airplanes. That's how small it is. And I wrote them back. And I said, I don't know if you're deceptive, deceived, yourself, lying, or what, but there is no shortage of maple syrup. Because I can go every week to any Costco store anywhere in the country and buy 10, 12 gallons if I wanted to buy it in quarts. I could. They're stacked mile high in Costco. You guys cheaped it out to make more money. You're not motivated by what's in the best interest of your customers, but what you think is in the best interest of your stockholders, and you want to try to squeeze the last penny out of it. This has bothered me, and it bothers me tremendously. That was in the spring of 2011. It was the only restaurant I could have breakfast in. I don't like breakfast in any other restaurant if I got to drink corn syrup. That was what told me this company, like others, is logically concerned with profits, but not by cheapening out their product and presenting something that isn't. That's what set up, interestingly, the very next thing, which I guess we're going to have to hear after the break. It's Robin Walter. Don't go away. It's the Robin Walter Show. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
My Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. Once I get clearance from a very faithful radio listener to share a story that she shared with me about how much she loves this song, if she gives me clearance to share that, it is hilarious. I just don't want to do it till she said it's okay. So if you're listening, you know who you are. Write me and tell me that it's okay to share what you shared with me. Well, you know. Okay, let me get back here, Cracker Barrel. So, everybody here in the last couple of weeks, I mean, the stock tanked the first day, but now it's come back some, and I you know what? Short minds with investors. Because most investors are, you know what? We don't really care what the company's doing, as long as they're making money. Hey, we'll buy cannabis plants and companies if that's going to make me money. And this includes, sadly, way too many Christians. Way too many Christians who really don't give a rip about what they have associated themselves with as an investor. They don't really care what they've so if as long as it makes them money. It bothers me. Now, my stock portfolio would be far, far more valuable if I didn't fire every company that does badly. I don't want to be financially benefited by partaking in the sins as a shareholder, as a part owner of a company that does bad things, anti-God, hates Christianity, hates basically anything that will get in the way of them making more money. So this thought in the spring of early early summer of 2011, the deal with the maple syrup, and they're about money. Then something happened in the middle of the summer. Cracker Barrel came out. I found out, actually, they didn't come out and say it. I dug and found out that they had been giving money surreptitiously to Equality Tennessee. What's Equality Tennessee? Back at that time, that was an organization in Tennessee that was advocating for queer marriage. Queer marriage was illegal in Tennessee. It was not mandated by a rogue court in 2015. That was all yet to come. So here's the old Cracker Barrel folks. The CEO and on down said, yeah, I think we could pick up if we don't need to be so straight-laced. If we could pick up some more queer customers here, if we support Equality Tennessee, and we push for that which God calls an abomination. Hardly anybody knew about it. And what I'm going to tell you is something that only I, other than a few employees in Cracker Barrel, know about anywhere in the world. No one else knows this. And I'm sharing it with you so that you understand something here that when... Let me make the bigger point first, and I'll come back to the specifics. You know, there's an old saying, how do you go bankrupt? And they say, well, slowly and then quickly. I would apply that. How does your house get infected with termites? A little bit and then a whole lot. The enemy works in increments. Increments. They infect. I mean, a house doesn't have a termite infestation that hits in the left the southwest corner of one bedroom on a Tuesday, and by Thursday, they have to tear the house down because it's a total loss. It's infected. No. They work their way incrementally, night and day, chomping and chewing 24/7 until the house is a goner. I knew a party, actually a neighbor, but a neighbor was probably about a quarter of a mile from my home in Santa Barbara County, California. That I moved in about when he moved out. He went back to Spain, and the buyer came in and said, "We got termites." They ended up tearing the house down. The whole house was infested. It could not be treated. It could not be saved. That didn't happen overnight. So what you are witnessing right now with Cracker Barrel did not begin with the change of the logo. This is where everybody is missing it with Cracker Barrel. They do not know the backstory. You alone are going to hear the backstory today. Because when I found out that they were sending funds somewhat surreptitiously to Equality, Tennessee, I wrote the CEO of Cracker Barrel the summer of 2011. Did I hear back? No, I did not. It got turned over to a lady by the name of Julie Dugan, D-U-G-A-N, who would not return my phone calls or respond to my emails with respect to why are they doing this. Now, I'm a lawyer, but at the time I was assisting in some financial services for some people for which I needed to be Series 7 licensed. I got the license. I don't have it now. There's some great brokers out there. I was not one of them, in my opinion, because I had no interest in it. There weren't enough good companies to want to invest in. Not that I'd want to own. And I couldn't recommend to my clients that you own these bad companies. So I dug around and I got this information. I didn't get hear back from the CEO, nor this Julie Dugan to which it was assigned. But here's what happened. When my letter went to the CEO, the mail was opened up, not by the CEO or by Julie Dugan. It was mail opened up by a person who will remain nameless. I'm not going to even give you her exact title. I don't even know if she's still there. Probably not. She read my letter asking Cracker Barrel to come back from the moral cliff, to not sneakily betray their loyal heterosexual marriage customers throughout the Southeast and elsewhere in the country as they have spread now. Well, that person who was in some fashion an assistant, like I said, who will remain nameless, she got my letter and she called me. And she begged me, to the point of breaking down into tears, the Cracker Barrel is being taken over by homosexuals. They want to broaden their customer base. So they hired some queer head of HR, who only then hires other queers in HR for the most part. And the road to queerdom was set and approved by the CEO, who did not share any of Cracker Barrel's values. None whatsoever. An emissary from hell probably would have been a better description of that individual at that time. She begged me, help us. Do whatever you can. We're trapped. We're being enclosed. We're being taken over by an element from the pit of hell. That's all serious. How do I turn that down? But what do I do? I'm not licensed to practice law in Tennessee. And if I were, what could I do? They can be as evil as they want to be. Legally, they can advocate for something that's against the law. But what if people knew about it? That's a whole different story. So I said to this person, this woman, I said, here's my plan. I am not going to approach this as a lawyer. It's going to be on my legal letterhead, but we have a financial services kind of component to the business. I'm going to approach this as a financial advisor. And how could I recommend this company to all of my clients to whom I hold myself out as trying to find higher, more moral companies in which to invest? I said, how can this help your business? In other words, I went for the spanking provision. They have to look at the possibility of getting spanked financially before they'd actually do the things for the right, do the right thing. Now, I want people to do the right thing for the right reason. Second, I'll take them doing the right thing for the wrong reason, if that's preferable to them doing the wrong thing for any reason. So I said, here's what I'm going to do. If I don't want to get you too involved, have another person anonymously send me the names and addresses of every single person that sits on the board of directors. And I will write them certified mail. And this is the best I can do. Go to the board of directors and try to convince them that their CEO is screwed up. They're on that person's on the highway to hell, slouching towards Gomorrah. Now keep in mind, this is 2011, 14 years ago. Nobody seems to have had an issue with them until they changed their logo, which is only a further culmination of their wokeness. And the current CEO has been quoted, Julie Rossimi or something like that, as saying that she fully believes in DEI and she gives preference to, she discriminates against white employees. Hey, was that really good for business? Not for my business. So what you're going to hear today is something that no one else has ever seen. No one has heard or seen this other than the board of directors for Cracker Barrel in August of 2011. A letter from me dated August 9th, 2011. The letter was the same to every single board member, specially mailed to their home address, so I know that every single one of them got it. Here's what it says. Our team, financially but not legally, is a group of investors for whom socially responsible investing is extremely important. Cracker Barrel's recent endorsement of homosexual marriage via its contributions to Equality Tennessee comes as a great disappointment, sadness, and frankly, embarrassment, as we have had to apologize for the behavior of a company we have highly touted for so long. On a purely personal note, this is a difficult letter to write, as my wife and I do not have overlapping investment portfolios. The lot fell to her with respect to the acquisition of Cracker Barrel stock. And I want to interject, after this was all revealed, she dumped the stock. But however, for years, we have patronized the restaurant and store whenever and wherever we traveled, beginning with the first time of going to the Opry, of which there were approximately 10 visits, and often completing our Christmas shopping at the country store. In short, I have loved this company and its products. I've included these personal comments only to let you know that I have felt an attachment to Cracker Barrel unlike virtually any other publicly traded company. For some years, I've done a radio talk show in the Southwest, Sovereign America with Rob Walter. That's the old name. That's what it used to be. But it soon will expand to Phoenix on a large conservative talk radio station where overnight the listening audience will double. The essence of the program is, through commentary or guests, to enable the listeners to work through the issues of life biblically, in short, to help them walk, talk, vote, and yes, invest according to God's word. No issue is off limits. One popular topic is biblically responsible investing and what companies are worthy of our investment dollars and which ones are not. I have referenced Cracker Barrel as a paragon of virtue in a corporate world otherwise run morally amok. However, with Cracker Barrel's support for homosexual marriage and my personal attachment to the company, I'm determined to investigate this development to a degree unlike I have ever undertaken with any other company. This led me to the office of Julie Davis. And I'm sorry, I said Julie Dugan before. I meant Julie Davis. I sensed her interest in my inquiry to be entirely feigned. That suspicion proved correct since my multiple subsequent emails and phone calls went unanswered, although she adamantly promised to get back to me as an investor regarding whether or not Cracker Barrel's support for homosexual marriage was a mere misunderstanding. And I need to interject. She blew me off after all of my input. She was the one to whom I had been assigned as an investor. And she totally blew me off because she couldn't handle the question for whatever reason. Maybe she got fired, maybe she quit, but I don't think so because her interest was feigned, as I said. Since she has chosen to ignore these concerns, I feel compelled to ask the directors whether this is a knowing and intentional compromise on the part of Cracker Barrel's directors. If this is in fact Cracker Barrel's position, then my course is clear, not as a threat, but one of duty. And that would be to warn shareholders and customers on the air that Cracker Barrel is not at all what it used to represent, and advise them that it's time to flee, as Cracker Barrel being a proactive participant in the moral demise of this once great country. And I should have included once great company. I didn't. Continuing, as passionately as I have advocated for this company, my disappointment will compel an equally passionate admonition to the contrary. The following are just some of the reasons why this agenda will have a profound and deleterious impact upon the company and its shareholders. One, it's contrary to everything this company has historically represented. Two, it contradicts the faith-based atmosphere reflected in your country stores. Three, it contradicts without question the moral inclinations of at least 80% of your customer base. Four, it's devastating to company morale. I wish you could have seen the crestfallen look upon the face of one of your waiters in Nashville when I discussed your support for homosexual marriage with him. End of parens. I have no doubt that a truly confidential questionnaire of your employees would reveal a revulsion towards this direction of the company. Number five, to formally support that which God calls an abomination, celebrating sodomy with a moniker of marriage hardly seems like a business plan worthy of attracting righteous investors' money. Number six, because these are charitable contributions and the company is supporting that which is against the law in Tennessee and many other states, it is arguably a breach of fiduciary duty for the directors to support spending shareholder money to advance causes that are against the law. Companies aren't formed for the primary purpose of being financial conduits to social campaigns, especially ones focused upon legitimizing aberrant sexual behavior. Number seven, ultimately, sin will be bad for business. Sin is bad for our country, it's bad for your company, and it's ruinous to our posterity. I cannot underscore how strongly I encourage you to revisit your policy. It may be that the board takes a politically correct approach and moves forward without consideration of this request. Our clients will necessarily move forward without you. We'll eat somewhere else, and we'll soon know that Cracker Barrel has strayed far from the straight and narrow. But also know that the actions we take will not be with revenge or vindictiveness, but with sorrow and resolve, as one who, though betrayed, must nonetheless stay the course. It will be a shame and with great sadness, however, to no longer be able to call Cracker Barrel a partner in the journey of appropriate and godly investing. Sincerely, Rob Walter, CC, all Cracker Barrel directors. Now, this particular letter went to Mr. James W. Bradford, Hartman Trail, Lebanon, Tennessee. I don't know if he's still there. I can give you the name and address of every single one of the board of directors in 2011. But now I want to get to the response that I got from the various directors. The response I got was zero. I got no response. I think there were 10 or 11 directors. I can't remember. I got them all written down here. Not a single one had the cojones to write me back to say that they agreed with me, that maybe they needed to reconsider what this rogue CEO was doing. the implementation of these policies. And so I had to conclude that, like the situation with the bogus excuse why they went to only 50% maple syrup, that this was about an incredibly immoral, gutless, feckless confirmation of a policy believing that if we give in to sin, we can get more business. Which means if we, the more we give in to sin, the more business we will get. Not a single response. You're the only ones in the entire country other than these board of directors that ever heard this letter. This is 2011, 14 years ago. And so this is the backstory to the fall of Cracker Barrel. It began a long time ago in the spring of, I think, 2011. And this non-response to these letters in the late summer of 2011 told me that they want profits above righteousness. These are a bunch of old Southern guys. I would think some of them had some semblance of conviction from church to actually speak up. Do I get a response? No, not at all. And so my concluding conversations with the personnel in the administrative branch there in Lebanon, Tennessee, they were devastated. Absolutely devastated. They knew they had a bad CEO, a woke one, with a super queer agenda. But the fact that none of the board of directors stood up to ever respond to me individually or collectively was a telling story. They're devastated. Absolutely devastated. As was I. And I have not eaten at a Cracker Barrel in 14 years. I will not set foot in it. Yeah, they've gone woke. They got, you know, they got the new logo now. There's the old man with a barrel, the old white guy. It's Cracker Barrel, and there's no cracker, and there's no barrel. I hope they suffer a devastating financial hit. Now, the only good thing about Cracker Barrel are your rank-and-file employees. The waiters, waitresses, hostess, greeters. The guy who's bringing the firewood in to keep the fire going in the fireplace. It's in each one of, at least all the ones that I was in the Southeast had fireplaces. The guy, two guys over in the corner having their coffee and pie playing checkers. It is a piece of Americana that the board of directors and the CEO associate Americana with godliness and righteousness. And they want to have no part of it. Somebody wants a copy of this letter. I really don't mind sending it. It's not, I may rethink that, but it's not defamation. It's just my letter to a board of director. I'm not going to give you all the names, but I would encourage you to boycott. I'd encourage you to sell the stock. Like everything leftist these days, they are not easily convicted of their sin. The only thing they're concerned about is their wallet, their billfold. What are they making? Can they make more by pushing sin? And if they think so, they'll push it. It is a sad, sad situation. But I would say this, if you are a Cracker Barrel customer, maybe I should release this letter. I've written to the Blaze and WLT reporter, but then also to, I can't think of his name right now, the Blaze, and they may air the letter. I don't know. I've got to hear that. Because nobody knows the backstory. This has been a march towards Sodom, slouching towards Gomorrah, as Bill Bennett wrote, that began a long time ago. These are the moral termites inside of a company that's hollowing it out. Just like those immoral termites will hollow out a marriage, a business relationship, a country, a state, and in this case, a company. And all we can do is expose the works of darkness. And then let the judgment come from God. Let him do what he will do. I pray that the employees there will find better jobs elsewhere. But most of all, that there is a complete revolution on the board and CEO, that it could once again become a good company. Because right now, it's not. But you know what you need to do, right? Yeah, same thing I tell you every week. And what's that? Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand. And whose brand is that? It's the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.